Okay, we are live. I'm going to play a little music and give everybody just a couple of minutes to come on.
We descended from a strange cloud. He walked into a strange soul. We descended from a strange cloud. Walked into a strange soul. Carrying the strangest cargo.
Is it okay on there? Fleshly bodies into Christ the Word. So it's good to be back and to be looking at these things again. We're looking at the last three chapters of the book of Revelation. And before I get started, I want to say for those that may watch this later or come on, I am Don Parnell. And I am from Dayton, Ohio, and you can find me on Facebook as Atori Aloyansa Parnell, and we have all of our videos and, of course, a lot of our writings there in Facebook. You can find me on our website, which is Spiritual Energy, all one word, spiritualenergy.net. And you can go there and enjoy all of the writings and the audios and the videos that we have. And you can also find me on YouTube. And it is Atori Aloyansa. If you just put in at Atori Aloyansa, it will bring you up to my channel. And you can find right now about 225 videos on that channel. And I would like to say, for those of you that will go to that channel and check it out or start downloading things from there, please take the time to click the subscribe button. It will help me a lot to be able to do much more on YouTube than what I'm doing now. Give me the freedom to spread this message a lot more. So I would appreciate it if you do that when you go there. So we are on our sixth picture. I call it the sixth canvas portrait of Christ. Christ himself, the pillar of fire, came to John on the island of Patmos and began to draw John many different ways in which he was going to reveal himself throughout the ages. And we went through the first five, and we are starting on the sixth one now. And I call it the sixth canvas portrait of Christ, or what's being shown as dominant or as emphasized in this picture is new heaven and new earth. It's just all through this picture. So we've completed five full canvas pictures drawn by Jesus Christ himself to John. And the pillar of fire opened to John six different ways in which he would reveal himself in the dispensation of the church and in some of the ways after the church ages and that dispensation would be finished. And we're going to open this sixth picture now. And if you haven't, if this is your first time to hear it, go back about 9 or 10 messages on our website and go back there and find us talking on all of those up through the last 8 or 9, 10 messages. So what we're going to look at today is the sixth picture. It has the beauty of new heaven and new earth. Now, I notice in the first chapter, Jesus makes a statement. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And we'll come back to this and open up some things after we finish this last great picture. I'm going to come back and take a thought to kind of cap it all off with, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. We'll come back to that. Alpha and Omega are the same person, and they are the same thing. They begin things, and then there's a whole process in between, and then it ends things. So Alpha and Omega are the same person, and it is two terms for the eternal day, the eighth day, and it's outside the scene of time. It takes over time, fulfills time, becomes the fullness of time, whatever you might want to call it. So we take notice that Alpha appears at the beginning of each canvas picture. You've noticed that. And then Omega appears at the end of each canvas picture. We've all noticed that. Everything in between is a process. And so it's a process of experience, a process of growth. And each canvas drawing by the artist, Jesus Christ, reveals a dominant characteristic about himself in humanity in each one of those pictures. So we're going to start out with the book of Revelations in this picture, the 20th chapter, and we'll read verse 1. And it says to us that, and listen closely here, because it's the same thing that seems to happen at the beginning of every one of them. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, so we see this going on. Now, once again, we see the mighty angel, the one that was walking in the candlesticks, that came down and walked in the candlesticks, the one that was sitting on the throne in that second scene. There was one on the throne, 4 through 7, and the one what we were looking at there, and then the one casting himself in the 8th chapter into the earth as a pillar of fire and moving the earth into the trumpets. And then we seen the one man-child moving into the earth in that 12th chapter with the dragon and changing our DNA through new creation. And then we seen the one changing the woman and the dragon and transforming them and recasting them, the beast in its image and all of these things. And we seen this one with great authority who was illuminating the earth coming down in the 18th chapter in that scene, illuminating the earth with his glory. And then we see the one feeding us with the word of mighty kings and mighty men of every tongue and nation and kindred. And we see this one that is doing that in the 19th chapter. And then it ends up with us in the 8th day eating and understanding and living in the earth in humanity. And then it comes back. Now, here in the 20th chapter is the start or the Alpha. The same Alpha that came in all the other 5 pictures is here again. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Notice this is the first place where it actually pictures and gives you all those terms of the devil. And so now he's the one, the Alpha, the pillar of fire, descending into the earth and taking on earthly manifestation and having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And with this key and chain, Satan, the intellect of man, we know what it is. Now, all those terms, the dragon, Satan, the serpent, the devil, all those terms are just the intellect of man trying to use his beast and his images to take over and prevail over the mighty one that keeps descending into the earth and bringing us back to the Omega. So we see this. Now, he has a key. And having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. With the key and chain, Satan, the intellect of man, and all of his beasts and images can be bound in every form. Notice he named off every form. So it's not like, something's loose out here that hasn't been bound up. Every form, every term, everything that Satan and man's intellect was, this key and this chain will bind its carnality or the bottomless pit. So we see this now with his key and chain, it's bound, the beast, its images can be bound in every form, dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, all of his forms and his images. Remember this, in the 9th chapter, do you remember when we were going through the trumpets? There was an angel that loosed the things in the bottomless pit, descended, went into the pit, took a key, had a key, and he opened the bottomless pit. But now in this scene, the same angel is binding all the things into the bottomless pit. And I'm kind of asking you the question and thinking about it. Why is this happening? So we see this now. He says he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. So he sealed up, shut him up and put a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. So we see there's a binding and a loosing. He bound him in the 9th chapter, he loosed him. He bound him here and he's going to loose him again. And on and on and on, man's intellect. So we see a mighty angel, a key, a chain, all the forms of Satan, the bottomless pit, a seal, binding up those things for 1,000 years. What's going on? What is he talking about here? The pillar of fire opened the bottomless pit, the carnal mind, and all of his imagination and inventions for a season. Why would he do that? Or we could say Alpha pulled back for a season, seven ages in man's mind, and gave mankind the experience to realize the very best way humanity should function in the earth. Now, a lot of people think that we shouldn't be associated with the affairs of men, but I'm going to show you what a couple of men said about that. So we see this now. So we realize that Satan, or the intellect of man, is loosed, bound, and he's doing that to give us a time of choice so that we can make decisions and experience for our own selves what it is that is the best way for humanity to operate in the earth. So the key, we're looking at these things, and the key itself, if we want to take a look at some of this, the key, he had a key. The key is always an open door. When you have a key, a door is going to open. It's always an open door, the key to the house of David. You remember in the Philadelphian age? The key of the Philadelphian age, it was opening doors. And it is the revelation of Jesus Christ in its full authority. That's what he does. He opens those doors, or it's the fullness of time is the key to this age. What is the key right now? It's not Luther's day. It's not Wesley's day. It's not Pentecost, and it's not William Branham. The key to this age is the fullness of time. And if you can catch that you are standing outside of time in eternity, you've got a key that will open everything up for you, and you'll begin to see all this, and you won't see anything else. So we see this key is the revelation of Jesus Christ in his full authority in this day. That's what the key is. And that's when he's coming. Now, the chain is a chain of circumstances. You know, I think in one of the messages, Brother Branham made the statement. He said, this chain is not like a log chain. It's a chain of circumstances. So this chain is a chain of circumstances wherein we receive the new birth, the DNA. This is what binds Satan, man's intellect. The new birth, the new blood, the DNA bloodline, the spiritual bloodline. And we all know that science has proved that the DNA in a human is the chain linking all of their systems of the body together, that DNA. And it's the same way in Christ. We received a new DNA, and this chain unlinks us from our old bloodline and puts us in the bloodline of Jesus Christ himself, or into the Word for our day. And that DNA is linking all things in your system. The spiritual chain of DNA, you say, well, what is it, Brother Parnell, if we got a new DNA, if we got a new chain, and this chain is going to take a hold of Satan and bind him up and hold him, what chain is that? Well, it's very simple. If you follow the line of thought through the church ages, that chain of DNA, new DNA, is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the full Word, or the fullness of time. So the chain takes you into a new birth, or a DNA. So this binds the intellect of Satan. Every one of us, through experience, need, just like the ages needed it, they needed to bring the whole age into a new earth and into a new day. It needed Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and the full Word, the prophet, to break out. He said that they were like in the womb of Mary, in the womb of the church, and they broke out and came into a brand new day. That's what brought us there, and that's what happens every single time in any individual. When that begins to work in you, it gives you a whole new plan of DNA, and the things in this world just don't correlate with you. You don't align with them or anything. So now we see Satan's forms. Remember, there was some forms there. Satan's forms, the serpent, the devil, all those different things. The beast and the intellect of carnality, that's what it is, which we were given for a season. We were given that, with the beast, the nature, the carnality. We moved out of the attribute of theophany and come into the attribute of carnality in the flesh. And for a season, carnality worked in us, not willingly, but we were made subject to vanity for a season to pass through the stages of carnality and come over into a spiritual person. So we were made subject to vanity. We were made subject to those things so that we could work and feel and have emotion and have all the things that we needed to feel our way through all the way into a spiritual person. Now, there was a seal. Remember, he sealed the bottomless pit. He sealed it up. A seal is a finished product. You know that we've been taught that. First seal and many other places. The seal is a finished product, and a seal was placed on the bottomless pit. That's what it said. He put a seal on the bottomless pit and bound it. So this seal is showing that there was a season wherein the intellect of man was finished. It was sealed up, and the intellect of man was not going to continue to swarm the earth, but it was going to be the new intellectual mind of Christ that will move into a new world. So we see this seal. It was finished product. The seal was placed on the bottomless pit, and the carnality and its attributes were sealed for a season to give humanity a resting place. It gives us a chance to sit back and take a look at everything that we've done and kind of weigh it out and say, I'll keep this and I'll leave this. I'll make this a part of me and I'll make this separate from me. And you just kind of weigh your way through all of that, and it's a seal. The resting place, you say, what is the resting place, Brother Parnell? It's the word of the Spirit, the word of the age. It is Christ. It is you. And you find that for yourself, and it's a great rest. Then there's 1,000 years. It says it very plainly. We know Peter said that 1,000 years is as a day. So 1,000 years and a day are the same thing. So the mighty angel gave the people a condition that they could live in. That's what this is all about. It's not like 1,000 years, and it's not like a day. It's a condition that the mighty angel, through the message, puts the people into a condition or a message, or it's a day that they could step into their time, step into their understanding for their day, and rest in it. Every one of us do it, and every one of them back through the ages did it. They rested in Luther, they rested in Wesley, they rested in Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba. It's a rest. So we see this going on. Now, this is the mighty angel gave the people a condition, a message, a day that they could step into in their time and find rest. The 1,000 years represents rest from the works of the beast and its image. How do we get that rest? How do we get that, Brother Parnell? Get rid of your old DNA. Go through justification, sanctification, baptism, holy, and come to the full word. Come to a full understanding for your day and your message. And that DNA will change, and you will walk out of that conflict. You'll walk out of that chaos. You'll walk out of all those things, and you'll hold within you a great rest for your day. The 7 messengers gave the people a place to rest in Christ through 6 messages. And then the 7th messenger brought life for a brand new day. Not a temporal rest, but this is security. This is oneness. This is a rest for eternity, and the rest of everything, all those temporal things, will fade away. And we have come to the finale, the rest of Christ, which will set up his kingdom in earth. Now each age received the rest through their messenger and were sealed to that message for that day. And after that day, the age would fade away and another message, DNA, would come and seal up a condition for those people to rest in. And it happens 7 ages in a row until you get to the end and you break out of church and you break out of church ages and you break out of all that old creation and you're standing in eternity with an eternal rest and there's no, quote, no place else to go. This is it. This is the Alpha and Omega on the scene. So we see this happening. Now, he goes on, he says, I saw thrones. Sorry, I skipped a little too much there. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Notice what it says. And they sat upon them. This is not the white throne judgment. This is what happens every single time Alpha pulls himself back. And when Alpha pulls himself back, all of a sudden, the world wants to go into a judgment scene. They want to judge everybody. The way you walk, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you run your church, the rules and regulations and dogmas and creeds of the church. And I saw thrones and they sat upon them and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, 68 million of them down through time and a lot more than that. I saw them which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So he's showing us that when Alpha pulled back, it went into a great persecution and it went into a day to where thrones, all kinds of thrones were set up and they were all judging one another. And in the middle of all that, there were true witnesses down through the ages and there were true people and they were resting in the message of their day. And so we see this now in those beginning verses of his chapter, we saw the mighty angel, the Alpha manifestation in the start of his picture. And he is overcoming all the beasts and its images and binding and sealing the carnal mind for a season. And now watch the scene change and go into the judgment scene. That's what we read. Through the ages wherein came all of the partiality, all of the separation. He's not as good as me. He doesn't know what I know. She's not in the purpose. They're in the permissive will of God and just pointing back and forth at all kinds of things. Now watch the scene change and go into judgment scene through the ages wherein all of partiality and separation, wherein hell was created, and that's exactly where it's created, in that in between Alpha and Omega, in those processes, hell is created. And hell was created, deities were formed, denominations, and all of humanity's intellect tried to squelch the Alpha manifestation. Just think about it like this when you're thinking of church ages. Day of Pentecost, 123,000. And from that moment on, for 7 church ages, this judgment scene comes on the scene where everybody wants to try to do something different, and it's man's intellect trying to squelch a brand new creation that was birthed into the earth, and they do it through 7 ages until Omega comes back and sets it up. So we see this now. Those who did not promote or manifest the beast or its image or its man or its ideas were living in rest. We read that. They were there. They were having their selves beheaded and everything else. And everybody was sitting on their thrones and arguing and so forth. They were living in rest and reigning in Christ in this spirit of rest. It's a beautiful picture of what the Spirit can do for you while the world is struggling in anguish and man's intellect and carnality. As deep as they go into it, it is exactly what the Lord wanted to show us, and that is you can experience the very depths of hell and prevail and still come out with the best way through Christ to operate humanity in the earth. So we see this now. They were struggling while a table of vomit was set up for the carnality, for all of the bottomless pit to regurgitate itself out. While this table was there, a table of revelation was set for us to walk through the valley of death and through all of its shadows and images and all these kinds of things. So after Alpha came in that 20th chapter, they began to drop back into those systems just like every other picture. And he said, but the rest of the dead, in the fifth verse, live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan, carnality, man's mind, shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So we see this. Now, this great battle is going on, this Gog and Magog that John is showing us. So this beginning verses of the chapter, we see the mighty angel, the Alpha manifestation. We see all of these things happening. And they shall go out and deceive the nations, is what the scripture says. And when they do, we see the first resurrection. That's what he says here. This is the first resurrection. So we see the first resurrection is while we're standing on our feet, while we're in a battle. It's not getting up out of the graves and going to some new world somewhere. The first resurrection, he says, this is the first resurrection. It's while we're standing on our feet, we are resurrected and we walk in the rest of the Spirit manifesting the first resurrection. We are resurrected already, and we are walking in the earth manifesting the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is our theme. That's what it said. Blessed and holy is our theme. That's who we are as we have taken part in the first resurrection. I'm holy. I'm sinless. I'm blessed. I understand who I am. I have all of these things. There is no second death to us. We're not worried about a death. We came through the death of our old DNA, and we entered into the new DNA, into the new word, into the new spirit form. And when we entered into that form, this second death can't do anything to us. We came through the process of newness. DNA change, carnal mind bound, walking in the new world, and we don't participate in the second death. While we are enjoying our rest, and others are still walking in the intellect of Satan. They're still walking in that carnality. They're still out here doing the things they're doing and setting up images and everything else in their carnality, and are loosed for a season at the same time that we are walking in our resurrection. This is the understanding of the prophet's words when he made this statement. The saints are in glorified bodies, walking in earth, while Satan's subjects are in hell. Plain statement in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. The saints are in glorified bodies. That's who we are. Changed our DNA. Walking in the first resurrection. Walking in earth while Satan's subjects are in hell. They're still in hell. They haven't yet caught that the kingdom is here. Yes, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, is right here now, and Satan's subjects are right here in hell at the same time. Anointed ones at the end time. The prophet said, a weed, a tare, will walk right up next to you in the kingdom of God and sit down next to you and try to convince you that you don't have what you have. In the kingdom of God. In the kingdom. How many have done that to you? Oh, come on. You claim, I get it all the time. You claim a millennium's here. How come you're getting old? How come your hair's white? How come your body's getting, how come there's still all of this out here? You hear it all the time. You don't have what you think you have. But see, I understand the first resurrection. And I understand the newness of the DNA. And I understand the Word and the Spirit and what it's doing for us. And I understand that I am in a glorified body while some who are in the kingdom of God here with us will walk right up next to you and say, you don't have what you think you have. And they will be the religious ones 99% of the time. So here we see it. We've come through the process of DNA. We've come through the process of entering the new kingdom. Yes, the kingdom of God is right here now, and Satan's subjects are right here in hell at the same time. These great things around us are working their deceitfulness. They're working their cunningness, their delicacies, their enforcement. That's, we read that out of Daniel. And all the corrupt DNA that they can muster up, all this corrupt images and everything else that they can muster up in order to prevail and overpower this kingdom of Christ that has moved into the earth. And they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And that is to show us the glory of what we should and could and want and desire to be living in. So we see this now. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, the 9th verse, and compassed the camp of the saints about. So we're watching this happen in the ages, all the way up through every age, and right now. Compassing the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a period of time. It didn't say eternally. Forever is a period and ever is a period. So we see this happening, and we see what it says. Now, the camp of the saints, the beloved city. You say, Brother Parnell, exactly what is it? We kind of understand all of this chaos out here going on around us, but let's watch. Brother Branham makes a statement. He's talking about this woman. This woman that transforms, which we've seen her in the last age, 17th, 18th, 19th chapter. And Brother Branham makes this statement. In the Thyatiran age, exposition of the seven church ages. She is the type, he's talking about the same woman. She is the type of all things vulgar and foul and loathsome on the one hand. And on the other hand, she is the type of all things clean and beautiful and holy as the receptacle of the Spirit and the blessings of God. On the one hand, she is called the whore, who is drunk with the wine of her fornications. On the other hand, she is called the bride of Christ. On one hand, she is called Mystery Babylon, the abomination before God. On the other hand, she is called the New Jerusalem, our mother. On the one hand, she is so foul and wicked and lewd that she is summarily cast into the lake of fire, which was the only place fit for her to go. And on the other hand, she gets exalted to heaven, sharing the very throne of God as the only place befitting of such a queen. How did she get there? By going through the lake of fire, by going through the foul things that she did, by going through all this and figuring out through the Spirit what is the best place and the most blessed place for her to sit in humanity. So we see this now. The devil that deceived was cast in the lake of fire. Notice that the saints and the beloved city are inside, the saints in the beloved city are inside. Think about yourself right now. Inside. The saints in the, and the beloved city are inside, and the destroyer or the systems wanting to relinquish the saints, the beloved city, are on the outside. Passing, pressing, pressuring, and pressing us, and pushing against us all the time. And that's what this is doing to you. It pressures you. It pushes against you. It says you're not what you are, and on and on and on. And here it's showing the individual side of it and the ages side of it. And those outside the systems and beasts and images are cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Sulfur, a cleansing agent, is what brimstone is. This is where the beast, the image, and the false prophet are cast and are tormented day and night for a season. We have readily accepted our change. We know who we are. And we still have some lake of fire, and it's still purging us and casting us into a new product. But we understand it. Therefore, it's not tormenting us. We are going through it joyfully, kind of like the Hebrew children in the fire. It wasn't burning them. It wasn't touching them. But they were having to go through it, and it purged the ropes off of them. It purged the dross off of them. And they came out, Daniel in the lion's den. We're outside. Our outside person is casted and changed. And while we are now seeing the glorious time wherein all of the earth and the universe, we're looking at it right now. It's not will be. We're watching them. The earth and the universe are being changed by their time in the lake of fire, the consuming fire, the purging fire of the pillar of fire. It's going on all around us, and we're watching it happen. It's a great, great, great day. So we see this going on. Now he goes on and he says the 11th chapter or the 11th verse. Then he says, I saw a great white throne. This is not a throne where they are on it. This is the great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Spirit, God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. We'll talk about that in just a second. Which is the book of life. So the books were open, and then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So everything is submitted to the one on this great white throne, this heavenly Father, this pillar of fire, this great Spirit that created all things. All of the dead, all that was in the sea, all that were in the books, everything, all of death and hell, everything is delivered up, and they were brought before him and were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell, all that was in it, are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now listen to what he says. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I know for decades, for centuries, I know we've read that wrong. Anybody that came into this earth is written in the book of life. This is the book of life. And many of us have understood what it is to have our names transferred onto the Lamb's book. But whosoever came into this earth is written on the book of life. Their life is being lived out right here. So who is he talking about when he says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire? Well, let's think about this. After the great purging, it is not just thrones, but it is the great white throne. And we've come to the Alpha and Omega, to the end. and all things of all sorts in humanity come before the throne. This throne has been in time and eternity all along. It's been here. It is wherein the Father has all things submitted and surrendered up to Him. And the prodigal son has come, and he's come back home, and the nations are finished. We see all this going on. The all in all is looking at His kingdom with purging eyes, eyes of fire, and He's looking at His kingdom that He submerged into the earth, baptism, and He's cleansed all things. And all things are judged by the life, the books, according to their works. We see a world ending and a world beginning here. That's what's going on right here. Death and hell, as we knew it, is cast into the lake of fire and into the presence of the pillar of fire and is changed. And He says, this is the second death. Okay, now watch. Then John makes a statement in this picture. It's a beautiful picture. Whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death, or the ending of the old world. Period. It ends. So, some say, well, they go, some weren't in the book of life. Some names weren't in the book of life, and I know we've read all that, and we've talked about all that, and it's just talking about some people wasn't even put in the book of life, maybe like Pharaoh and this and that. I've heard all kinds of statements, but as I was reading this, and the Spirit was dealing with me, I began to see, He said, now, some say, well, there you go. Some people weren't in the book of life, and therefore they get annihilated by the pillar of fire, thrown into the lake of fire. And that is the second death. They're gone. Well, I don't read it that way at all. That is the interpretation of a person seeking judgment on somebody. That's church age thought. I want to kill somebody. I want to annihilate somebody. They don't believe like I do. They don't have the same blood as I do. They're not the same race as me. They don't have a soul. They need to be in hell. I want them to burn. I want to judge them. I can't wait. That's what that is when we say, well, some of them were so horrible, they weren't even put into the book of life, and then they're annihilated and done away with. Well, I don't read it that way. That's the interpretation of a person seeking judgment and death to anything outside of his or her own thinking. Let me put it like this. Let me say it like this and see if you understand it. And whosoever had not yet come to the earth and lived in the book of life that was cast by the pillar of fire that brought them into the earth, they go to the next civilization. They go through the, quote, second death. They don't get to live here. They go to the next civilization. And it's the second death, or the ending of the old civilization. They will operate in the next world where there is another type of contrast, another type of learning, another type of devil, another type of Satan, another type of all these things, and they will go through another type of death. He calls it the second kind of death. So there's a people who didn't come through this earth yet. And we've already broke into the new heaven and the new earth. And He says that these people, whosoever is not written in the earth during that dispensation, they will come in the next dispensation after the second death is put on the old one. They come and they live here. It's not like somebody gets thrown in to the lake of fire because they weren't written on a book. A book is life. It's not like sitting down around. The second they took a breath in the earth, they're on the book of life. So this is people that didn't come. They just didn't come. And they are moving into the next world. So we see this now. After the battle of Gog and Magog, all the corruptness of politics and religion and economics and military and separation and nations such as are removed from humanity, and a new world of Christ is formed, and begins to unfold. And there's a whole group of people that will come into here that were not written in the books back through the ages. So here we are. Now we come and we go through as individuals, we begin to unfold. This is the same thing that happens to us. We go through Armageddon and we have everything burned off. We have everything burned out of us and come to our rest each time. We watch a newness, something new breaks to us. We go right back through Armageddon. We begin to get rid of all the old things because we're mutable, we're flexible, and we're able to change and become new when we need to. And then we eventually go through the battle of Gog and Magog to bring a brand new unit. We say, this I'm keeping. And this I'm keeping because this is brand new. This is the unit that I'm going to live in. So we do that. And we complete a newness of life. John sees the drawing, the picture, and he writes more on it. He comes to the 21st chapter. And he's written about all these people who didn't even come through the earth yet. He's written about all these people who get cleansed through the pillar of fire that did come through the earth. And the others come out of the lake of fire or the pillar of fire or whatever to come and spend their time in the earth, who were not written any of the books before. So we see this now. And I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw John, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So what we're watching here, we've come to more of a temporal rest until the next message. And then we come to another temporal rest until the next message. Like the ages leading to Armageddon that keeps happening. And it keeps happening. And so this is truly, when we come to this, this is a brand new unit. This future home has become our present home. We have entered it. Our present home, we're dwelling in it. We're not in a temporary thing. We're not in a temporary rest. We are in the eighth day. We are in eternity. And we are resting. This book, this life, will never perish. It's brand new. This is truly a brand new unit. The future home has become our present home and dwelling in this casting. All of the old creation, Adam's DNA, has passed away in you. And there's a new heaven and a new earth, a spiritual mind with a body completely in alignment with its light, with its chakra, with its universe, completely in alignment with the vibration and frequency of this brand new day and this brand new earth. And we are living in it and enjoying it and understanding it. And the holy city, the new Jerusalem, is the spirit, the mind of Christ engulfing the new world in a glorified bodies beyond the mortal and the corruptible bodies of the Adamic creation. We are not living in Adam's creation. We are living in another brand new unit. The mind is clean. It's holy. It's purged. It's standing in a spiritual condition now beyond the theophany, beyond carnal attributes. And our voice is confirming within us that the tabernacle of God, listen to what he says, that he is living in the tabernacle of God with men. The body, the soul, and the spirit, Paul said, you are the tabernacle of God. So he is here now, living in the earth, and it is Christ that is in us, dwelling in every dimension and in every realm now. And he says, God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And I know what we used to think, you know, we'd boo-hoo and, you know, fill up two or three handkerchiefs. And then he'd kiss us and tell us how sweet we are and wipe away all of our tears. He says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, the one that sat on the throne, the guy in here, and he said unto me, Write, for these are words that are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha, I am Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So we see this going on today. The Spirit is wiping away. I didn't say it's going to wipe away. It's going on right now. The Spirit is wiping away the tears, death, sorrow, crying, pain, the former ways in which you lived. Or you could say it's a total recasting of our walk from church ages into a new world and a brand new day on the backside of the Bible, outside of the books of life that were in those ages. And this is a brand new book of life that is coming forth, and we are creating it, and we are the first ones, the pioneers, to come in it and create it. These things are true and faithful, he says. Notice the Spirit doesn't wipe away your memory. Didn't say that. We all thought it, you know. The Spirit doesn't wipe away your memory. It doesn't wipe away your experience. It doesn't wipe away your walk or your character as you are keeping all of those things as we move forward. You have them all now. What is the difference between one world and the next? The Spirit is giving you an understanding of all that you accomplished. And you are looking at every situation with revelation now, not boo-hooing and mad and hurt and complaining about every little thing that goes on. You're looking at it with pure revelation, understanding, and clarity. All of those feelings and emotion and hurt are turned from anger and anguish and pain into revelation. You know and understand every person and every situation completely, from the past and even what's going on in you now. You've woke up to a revelation that all of it is Christ. If you don't see Christ in every moment of your life, if you don't see Christ in every scripture in the Bible, if you don't see Christ in everything that's happening, go back and take a look again. You've missed something. So here we see this now. The Spirit is wiping away all these things, but he doesn't wipe away your memory, your conscience, your experience, your walk, your character, or any of those things. It's giving you a revelation to where you're not hurt at anybody anymore. You're not angry at anybody anymore. Every one of them were doing exactly to the point what you needed. Notice, he says, it is done. When it is done, what's left for us? What does he say? It is done, and immediately says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I am giving water from my bosom to everyone that is athirst. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new place. It's a brand new river. It's a brand new walk. It's brand new water. Now everyone receives life freely. After the purging, after we've come through, and it's a new day, after all the old things are passed away, recast into a new life, that's where we are at right now. It's not something that's going to happen in the future. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers, and he names them all off, they will go through the second death. It's not that they come back again after Alpha and after Omega comes on the scene. He's just rehearsing that all of those, before they can show up and enjoy Alpha and Omega and eternal life, they have to go through that second death. And then he says, there come unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Notice that John reiterates so that we understand that the only way that this great life can come into view and inherit all things, which is what he said, is for every one of us to pass through the lake of fire. That's what has to happen. The purging of fire, of the eyes of the pillar of fire, this is the way we enter into the new world and begin another play. Begin as actors in the spirit of life in another set of books. We've just started this great set of books. One of the seven angels carried us into the revelation of the new world. Listen to what he says. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the vials. And then he says in the tenth verse of the 21st chapter, he says, and he carried me away in the spirit. John stayed on the island of Patmos in his body. But he got caught away in the spirit, which is what you and I are doing right now. Carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. We could go into so much of that. We know that whenever that shows up, it's the city. It is us. It is the new creation. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone precious, most precious, even like a jasper stone. You know what jasper was? It was the firstborn from Jacob, which was Reuben. So he's showing you a jasper stone is here. It's clear as crystal, or it's a new beginning. It's a firstborn. It's brand new. It's first fruits. It's happening all around us. And he had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Notice John was carried away in the spirit. It is a spiritual scene happening. High mountain, great city, holy Jerusalem, descending from the mind of Christ, creating a condition for us to enjoy and to rest right here in the earth. The light is like a precious stone, jasper, the first stone, brand new day. The last stone being Sardin, being Benjamin, is not here yet. So we see this now, showing it is a new beginning now. And there is no stone of Benjamin yet, as this great time is about newness right now. It's about jasper. It's about a new day. It's about new things. And it's starting a brand new world. The new beginning is clear as crystal. Once you have your holistic being, after the purging of the old partialities and everything else that we had. Notice the 12 gates. The wall are high and lifted up, is what it says. Three in each of the four square city. Each side. Three. And there's 12 of them. And it says that it's 12 angels, and the names are written. This is a new world and an age. It said 12 angels written upon them. Memorial for the great world that was just come through. Just like they took the 12 stones and put them in the River Jordan as a memorial of what they had just come through. This is talking about a memorial, a remembrance. We will remember what we came through, and we will set up memorials as we move into the new civilization. And we have many of those memorials with us. We know what they are. So this memorial is set up, and it's 12 patriarchs and 12 disciples, foundations and gates, and all are now angels, is what it called them, in Omega, because Omega reveals here wherein all things are transformed to angels in the time of the resurrection. I want to say this, with all due respect to those who feel differently. And I know many of them and us have not seen a lot of these things. I'm enjoying it. The Spirit is moving me through it, and I am seeing so much. I've told you before, I've read this book thousands of times. I read it every week and have been since I was about a nine-year-old boy because it intrigued me so much. It was a gift given to me to understand it. I want to say this with all respect to those who feel differently. I understand that the Spirit wants us to get involved in the affairs of men. I understand that. And now this world of humanity is to be operated. It's not going to come like something's going to fly down from heaven and say, boo, and everything's going to go away. It's not going to happen that way. Paul and the disciples and those men took generations to push this new creation into the earth, into the world, and into the people, and put it in their minds and in their hearts to change from an old Mosaic law, to change from an old Adamic nature. It's not going to happen overnight. He moves into the hearts of men and women to change things, and he always has. Now listen to me. Christ is in his six pictures of artistry to us. It's very clear that the Spirit used men and women to guide, coming all the way through there, to guide, regulate, and operate in this world. Some were vulgar. Some were no good. But they were created to bring out the glory. And some were great men, and they got involved in politics. You think Moses could have delivered Israel without being involved in the politics? Do you think that Jesus could have ever went to Calvary without being involved in the politics and the religion of that world? He spoke out against the religious program, and he spoke out against Rome. He spoke out against all of those things. He's whipped them out of the temples. He done so many things because he knew that it was his place to get involved in the affairs of men. And it's going on all around us. And if we want to change in humanity, we need to get involved. We need to start supporting the things. Let's watch what he says here. Watch what I wrote. The Spirit has not lost its interest in humanity. The tide of evil is right here, but the presence of the Holy Spirit is right here also. The Spirit has not lost its interest in humanity and has not let go of the reins of humanity, but rather he stepped into humanity and stood in the presence of governments, religions, systems, economic situations. He showed us to get involved in the affairs of men. And then we come to the last messenger of the church ages, from Jesus to the last messenger of church ages. And he tells us the same thing. You say, no, he preached a message on Jezebel religion and he got involved in the politics. He preached a message on the invasion of America and he got involved in the politics. He preached messages on all of these things. He preached messages on Satan's Eden. He got involved in the politics. He preached messages on why we're not a denomination, and he got involved in the religious scene. He wanted to help people get out of those things. And that's what we are here for. We are to be involved in the affairs of men as we are the instruments of Christ and the tools in which he is setting up his kingdom in earth. We're setting this thing up. It ain't just the Spirit out here floating. You and me, we're making decisions and choices that bring it about. Our voice, when we speak, it goes out as a vibration. It goes out as a frequency. And it begins to change things. Now, if you don't speak it, there's no vibration and there's no frequency to bring us out of all of this filth and ungodliness and humane situation that we're setting in. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Brother Branham said, stay away from this and stay away from that. Well, let me read you this. Exposition of the seven church ages, the Laodicean church age. And when we speak of him, after the manner we often, after he died on Calvary, we often get a view of him that makes us seem very impersonal, and he wants to draw back and stay out of those things. It is as though God made the whole universe and all the laws that pertain to it. And then we think we should stand back, and he stands back, and become a great impersonal God. It is as though God made a way of salvation for lost mankind, that way being the cross, and then when the death of Christ was atoned for our sins, and his resurrection gave us an open door to him, God just kind of folded his arms and said, okay, now it's your choice. Come through the open door. This is your prophet talking. When the death of Christ was atoned and his resurrection gave us an open door to him, God just folded his arms, stood back. It is as if we majored in believing in a great creator, but not ourselves. Who, having created, lost personal interest in his creation. Now I say, this is your prophet, now I say that is how too many people are apt to think. But that is wrong thinking. For God is governing in the affairs of men right now, and he is both creator, and he is sustainer, and he is walking in the earth. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit back and just say, well, you know, there goes that protest. There goes those people. There goes this and that. If we don't speak out, some of you may be my age, 70, 75, and 80, and you can't do a whole lot. But one thing you can do is at every table, at every place you go, it is to say, this form of government is not going to take us anywhere. We need a change. We need these things to happen. We need for it to come into the earth. We need for men to think differently. We need for godly men to take over these things. We need for the Spirit and his vibration to move into people. See, this is what we need. I've had people write me and say, oh, Brother Parnell, you better watch yourself, because Christ, the only reason Christ got crucified is because he got involved in politics. Well, I don't know that that's true, but I know he got involved in politics, and I know the religious and the political scene hated him and crucified him. But does that make you want to shut your mouth? It's time that we took these revelations and began to walk them into the earth. If it's just talking to a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter, or grandma and grandpa, or at a restaurant with so-and-so, or if it's in a little gathering here or there, or if it's going in with some of these things that are going on and just showing your support, whatever it is, we need to get our revelation. We need to get our mouth. We need to get our understanding out there so it shakes the nations and brings them to a greater reality. It's you and me. It was Paul. It was Peter. It was James. It was John. It was Bartholomew, it was Matthew, it was Luke, it was Mark. It was many great men that suffered a lot because they were bringing a new creation. It's not easy to create a new world. It's not easy, but we're doing it, and let's keep doing it. I love you. We'll come back. I'm going to stop right here. I stopped at the 13th verse in the 21st chapter, and we'll go through the rest of it. It's getting late, so I love you with all that's within me. And I guess what I'm trying to say is put these things into action in every way that you can. And you might not be able to put it into action the way somebody else can. Somebody may not have the means to be able to put it out there like I can. But I do have the means. So don't get upset at me when I put it out. Because I have the means to be able to say, these things need to change. And it catches hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. And you might not be able to catch two or three in a week. That's okay. Put your vibration, put your frequency out there, and watch it help change. This is a great day. Lord Jesus, we come to you. We thank you, great pillar of fire. You laid that body down. You resurrected it. You put it back in the cosmos. and you are moving in the pillar of fire again. Melchizedek walking in the earth again. In each one of us. Our little part, our little tongue of fire, come on us. And the first thing they did was ran out and gave it to the whole world. Let us do the same, Lord. It has struck us. It has made us to see and understand great things. Let us do the same thing. Take it to the world. Heal our bodies so we can. Heal our minds so we can. Heal our diseases so we can. Heal our financial situations so we can help one another. Do all these things for us. We're trusting in you to do it. There are people out there every day that write me that need healing. Their sons, their daughters, their loved ones, their wives, their husbands. They need healing. They need understanding. They need jobs. Lord Jesus, give them to them so they can help to get these things out and to bring this new world and this new understanding to where this vibration overtakes the old vibration. In your precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Love bless you. I hope this has been a blessing. And I know that it has been a blessing to me. And we will come back and we will look at this last chapter and a half next week, Tuesday. Love bless.